This is the word of the Lord from Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains, and the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. The people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The children are invited to children's worship at this time.
Can you guess what kind of letter it is? Maybe. Oh yeah, no, yeah. Maybe. opinions. But not as good as Chinese. Yeah, maybe some people would guess it. It's Chinese. And Chinese people pronounce it as mian. And Japanese people pronounce it man. And Korean people pronounce it myeon. That's a good But the meaning of this word is, as you can see on your right side of the cartoon picture, face. If you look at the center of the letter, there's something. Eye. Can you see an eye in this picture? I will explain how. There is the oldest Chinese character called the Oracle Bone Script. You heard Oracle Bone before. That for your information, Oracle Bones are parts of animal bones in which the oldest Chinese character is scripted. If you look at this letter in the Oracle Bone Script, it looks like this. What does it look like? Does it look like an eye? If I share this with you, more clear. Not eye. Okay. What about this? Yeah. This is about face. We can see, we can imagine the ancient people emphasized the eyes when describing a face. Maybe they thought the eye was the most important part of the face. We don't know. But the eye is at the center of this Chinese character, face. So I'm not going to teach you Chinese today, of course. But the first word of today's text begins with this. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them in the hand of Midian 7 years. So, the Israelites did evil things in the eye of the Lord, and the Lord put them in the Midianites and the Amalekites. So, Israelites are suffering. Why? The main reason for the suffering of the Israelites is that their faces are turned in the wrong direction. The Israelites turned their face from Yahweh to the idol. As a result, the face of the idol soon turned into the face of the Midianites and the Amalekites. Now, they are in trouble. You know, there is an interesting Hebrew word, nipunim. I'm not going to teach you Chinese, but I'm going to teach you Hebrew. So, if you want to read Hebrew, you want to read from right side to left. When we read English, you know, from left side to right, but opposite. So, on your right side, you pronounce mi. And the yellow part, puni, mi puni. Meaning, because of, this is preposition. It has a special root. It looks like this. Pronounce penim. So yellow parts are connected to each other. So on your left side, mi peni, then your right side, penim, meaning face. It is a very famous noun, more than 2,100 times appears in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word penim is very important in our text today. And it appears a lot. But English translation, Korean translation, Japanese translation, every other country translation cannot have this root in their translation. So you cannot see. So it's important root, but you cannot see. Let's see where can we find it. Verse 2 says, and the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. Where can you find the Hebrew root? As I told you, because of. Because it has a root, penim. So, if you want to translate it with the Hebrew root of penim, nuance in it, it could be like this. Because the Israelites faced the Midianites, they made hiding places, such as mountains and caves. And, of course, the Israelites suffered from the awful situation. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the enemy, the Amalekites and the Midianites attacked them and destroyed the crops. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. They came in and took over everything like a legion of locusts, grasshoppers, and their camels past counting. They devastated the whole country. And verse 6 says, Israelites was brought very low because of media. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. Here also, because of, has the same root of penim, which means face. So, if you want to translate with the same means, it could be because the Israelites faced the Midianites. They were in poverty, and they cried out to the Lord for help. And then, God sent them a prophet. Now the prophet delivered the word of the Lord. And I delivered you from the land of Egyptians, and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Here, preposition before also has the same root, penim, face. So if you want to translate with the nuance in it, I drove them out of your face and gave you their land. The prophet told them that God wants to remove the Egypt from the face of Israel. But they betrayed the Lord. God told them, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship other gods. But they have not listened to God. So, did God punish them? Of course not. God is gracious. God, this time, sends an angel of the Lord to Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinths at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now, the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. Where is Gideon? Gideon is in hiding. Is hidden and covered with threshing wheat in the winepress. Why? Because he's afraid of the face of the Midianites. So what? This is the truly shameful moment for Gideon. You know, threshing wheat normally happens in an open space. And the wine press is, of course, enclosed space. But now Gideon is threshing wheat in the wine press, which means he cannot do his job properly. Could you get a handful of wheat in the wine press? He is in a shameful situation. But the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, who is secretly and tensely threshing with her. And he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Gideon does not look heroic at all. He is hiding in the winepress, sweating to get a handful of wheat there. He is more like hiding in a rat hole, just sweating a lot and just holding his breath. But the angel of the Lord says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." What a joy. So, after hearing this kind of sarcastic compliment, Gideon asked serious questions. Why has all this happened to us if the Lord is with us? You know, this is a very, very important question. You got to pay attention on his mouth, because the core of the message is coming from his mouth, Gideon's mouth. Gideon is saying like this: "God, do you think I am enjoying this? Are you making fun of me? I don't want to hide and thresh you in the red hole like this. Come on, Lord, if you are with us, why has all this happened to us? Where was the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt? Where was the mighty warrior who defeated the Egyptians and parted the Red Sea? You put us here. You gave us the trouble. You put us into the middle of Midians and Amalekites. You did this." Wow, he's got a big mouth. His voice sounds full of anger, truly. In Hebrew, it's more strong. Interestingly, his attitude is more like reminiscent of Moses when God called him. As we know the story, when God called Moses, Moses protested to God. And he said, "Who am I to deal with Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I to do that? What did you do when I killed the Egyptian? For you! What have you been doing all this day? And now you suddenly show up and tell me what to do? Who are you?" That's a brilliant question. You know what God said? "I am who I am. I told you, as I told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am quoting this because I have a dream. I made a wonderful creation. I made a great kingdom. But you humans betrayed my plan. But I'm not going to give up, because I'm faithful. And I'm righteous. And I'm going to accomplish this dream. So I'm calling you. You go. And tell the Israelites that I'm going to rescue them out of Egypt. That's not a problem." Exactly. Now Gideon is making a strong argument against God, saying, "Why has all this happened to us if the Lord is with us?" But we should ask a fundamental question here. Why does the scripture describe Gideon, who seems so faithless, as a man of faith? You know, he is one of the men of faith according to the book of Hebrews. So, we should ask, what kind of faith the scripture shows through Gideon, who is just blaming God? That's the main question, bring you to the gospel. Because many people misunderstand about the nature of faith. Many people misuse faith as if it is another way of the law. Like a retribution way, where you are rewarded if you do well, and you are punished if you do not. As if you show the faith well, then you will be saved. And if you do not, then you will be judged. As if you put more faith, then your salvation will be secure. And you, if you put it less, then your salvation will be cracked. Isn't that the way of the law rather than the principle of grace? Well, many people understand that way. But the scripture clearly says, without any condition, with zero condition, I first came to a person who was spiritually dead, like a completely dead, smelly corpse. I cannot hear, taste, and see. You know, such a condition is impossible to respond to anything at all. But the living God breathed the spirit of life into the dead soul. Now the dead is reborn and finally be able to hear and see and speak spiritually. That's the gospel. That's the faith. It is far from the way of the law. It's about God's mysterious grace. And today's text leads us to the principle of faith through Gideon. Gideon challenges the Lord with a serious question in verses 13. Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all these wonderful deeds that our fathers and recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and put us into the hand of Midian. As we can see, Gideon's question is more like resentment and dissatisfaction with God. This cannot be considered a man of faith at all. What is faith for shame? Of course, it's endurance. And it's relying on God only, even if the reality is difficult and hardish, it is tougher, right? No matter how difficult or hopeless the situation may seem, good faith is to endure it and hope for the Lord's hand, isn't it? Gideon is far from that. But my earnest question is this. Who among us can rely on God when it comes to the time of trouble? Of course, we want to rely on faith, and we want to trust God only. But we know that's not easy. And Jesus knows our weakness, and he said, for the spirit is willing, the body is weak. And faithful Job is a great example. He said, but it is God who has wronged me, capturing me in his net. I cry out, help, but no one answers me. I protest, but there is no justice. God has blocked my way, so I cannot go. He has plunged my path into darkness. This is the word from the faithful Job. He blamed God. He said, God has blocked my way. God has plunged my path. Where is the faithful Job? But you know what? The story, end of the story, tells. God said, Job's three friends spoke wrong about me. But my servant Job spoke truth about me. What did he say? He blamed God. How can you look at this? You think it's general, normal knowledge that faith, trust, giving some faith, that's it? God God is talking different. God knows your heart. Depraved the heart. No hope in your heart. There is no tiny possibility in us. Total depravity. Job exclaimed from there. Because he knows God is real. Likewise, Gideon is now protesting to God with all his strength. He is furious. God, how could you do this to us? How could you force us into an unfair situation? If you are with us, why has all this happened to us? Where was all the miracles and wonders our ancestors kept telling us about? Didn't God deliver us out of Egypt? Gideon is yelling at God. Without knowing who God is and what he did for the Israelites and how the Israelites betrayed God. But God hears Gideon's angry speech. He listens to all his ridiculous nuance and senses. Nonsense. But do you know what God said to him after hearing all his complaining? That's it. That's it. Go with the strength. The Lord said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. The Lord said, go in this strength that you are yelling at me. And Gideon lost his word now. What? I'm complaining about you, but do you like it? What? Are you kidding me? How? How and with what could I save my people? I'm the smallest clan. I'm the runt of the leader. But God said to him, go with them. The Midianites are as numerous as a swarm of locusts. So I will be with you. Believe me, you will defeat them as one man. So, we must come to our senses at this point. Who on earth is God who uses Gideon, who is just a blame God? How much faithless at that time? They were called by God, but they lost that story. What kind of faith in Gideon show in a faith in a generation without faith. But the scripture tells us there is faith even in Gideon's complaint. There is a paradoxical faith even in his complaint. Gideon says, the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian. That's Gideon's perspective. But you know what? His perspective is the same as the author of the book of Judges. The author begins like this. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So, the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. So, can you find the yellow part? Gideon is confessing it's the same as the author. In other words, the author of Judges defines that Israel's suffering is in the hands of Almighty God. But Gideon has a sense of perspective. When all the Israelites are completely intoxicated with idols, when all the Israelites can no longer sense the existence of God, when all the Israelites forget the Lord Almighty, the real owner of history, the real owner of creation. Gideon spit out the existence of God, even in his brain. He exclaimed, God, you have put us into the hands of Midian. Gideon blamed God with all his strength, because he cannot understand the reality that he faces. But still, he knows that God is real. He knows God exists indeed. So today's text challenges us with a scary question. Do you believe in the existence of God? Do you really know that every situation is under God's control? His sovereignty? Do you know that God is observing your every moment, every move, in all your circumstances? Is there any trouble? Is there anything you are dissatisfied with God? Do you have any regrets with God? Is there anything, something you don't understand about God? Are you able to ask a question to God like Gideon did with all his strength? Are you coming to God with all your strength and seriousness? Even if it's an angry mood in your heart. Gideon knows God is real. So he resents him with all his strength. Because he knows God is real. Because he didn't understand how God works, that's why he resents God. But do you know what kind of strength he used? His strength is the same as Samson's strength. What? Yes, I'm talking about the guy who has long hair and great muscles. He has the same strength. How? There are several Hebrew words for strength in the Old Testament. Among them, the word kohat appears exactly 8 times throughout the book of Judges. 7 times are used for Samson, and only left 1 time is used for Gideon. So how did Gideon show his power? Why, Samson used his strength to avenge personal resent. Gideon used his strength to resent God. The only strength Gideon showed was complaining to God. What would humans do if they had the strength? Whether the avenging people or blaming God. The greatest work done by human was cursing the crucifixion of Jesus. But God brings faith even from there. He created faith even in the sinners who shouted God with all their strength, "Crucify Jesus! Crucify Jesus!" That's the strength humans use. What kind of strength you have and how you strength that energy? But why? Why does God allow that? Because he is faithful and he does not give up on the covenant he made. So, what kind of strength Gideon showed? The only strength Gideon showed was complaining loudly to God. But what kind of faith is God looking for in a faithless generation? This is the message. God is looking for those who turn their faces toward God with courageous prayer. What is courageous prayer? It is honest prayer. What is the honest prayer? It is recognizing God is real and tell him with our whole seriousness in our nakedness. If things are seriously bad, our prayers sometimes can become stormier than Gideon's. But the question is, have you ever even tried that? There are many resentment prayers filled in the Book of Psalms. But at the center of such resentment prayers, there is faith. And that kind of faith is exactly what the Syrophoenician women showed. When Jesus was in Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her seriously." But Jesus didn't even look at her, didn't even reply to her. But she is bothering with all her begging, with all her strength. Now, Jesus answered her, "It is not right to take food from the children of God and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, that's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall from the master's table." And Jesus said, "Your faith is great. Now God is asking you, what kind of faith is I am looking for in you? Come to me as who you are, but believe me and remember me that I am with you." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we learned about how you work in creating faith in a faithless generation. Lord, we are living in faithless generation. We are surrounded all kinds of idols. We are suffocated in these idols, Lord. We don't even know that you are real. We are sorry, Lord. All Gideon did was just to blame you and get angry at you, Lord. But you are faithful to him, as you did always. You are the God who brings out faith even in such miserable circumstances. Thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for awakening us. We confess that we have a lack of faith in you. We confess that we are not interested in who you are and what you have done for us. We are sorry. When we poured out all our anger, all our blame and cursing, you take them on the cross and create even new covenant and new faith from there. So we are covering our mouths. We have nothing to say to you. We feel all to your awesomeness. And sorry that we have lack of faith. But please have mercy on us. And just as you eliminated numerous Midians as one person to, please help us. And let us face that all the difficult circumstances surrounding us are not a problem to you at all. So have mercy on our broken hearts and give us the faith to see your face. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.